Good morning, church family. Hope you're all well. The reading of God's Word comes from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. The book of Matthew in the New Testament, chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. In the Pew Bible, it's pages 496 and 769. And in the Following Jesus Bible, Wonderful Young Children, page 655, 655, and page 1042. The hearing of God's word says, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you.' The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown." Now in Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, in finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. All right, well, I'd like to invite all our little ones, first grade and under, to come on down for our children's chat. Mr. Rich, why don't you help me, brother? I got a few things I need to carry down. If you could grab that for me. That's it. Thank you. All right. I know y'all are wondering what this is. I'll tell you in just a second. It is a basket, and it is water. That's right. Kids, do you ever feel like your parents are saying the same thing to you over and over and over again?
Never.
Well, I know I feel that way as a daddy sometimes. Why is it that our parents have to say something to us over and over again? They're trying to keep us safe. That's right. And do we always listen?
No.
Do we always obey?
No.
So sometimes they have... sometimes they have to say something to us over and over. But there's another reason, too, and I want to show you. So what is this? Okay, watch this. So if you put your hand in that water, will it hurt your hand?
No.
Somebody want to try?
Yes.
All right. Is that hurting your water, Liam? Are you hurting your hand?
Sort of.
Yeah, just a little bit. What if you were to hold your hand under there for like a week? Would it start to hurt your hand then?
Yeah, it's kind of cold.
What if you held your hand under there for a month? Would it hurt your hand then?
Yeah.
What if you held your hand under there for a year? Would it hurt your hand then?
Yeah.
Why? But it's just water. It's not hurting your hand right now, is it? It's freezing your hand. Have you ever heard of erosion before? Raise your hand if you've heard of erosion.
Yeah, me.
Here. Hey, David. Come take this. Otherwise, it's going to be a radical distraction for the rest of the 25 seconds I'm trying to... Thank you, brother. So, who has heard of erosion before?
Not me.
When water drips on a rock for a really long time, it starts to wear it away. Look at this picture right here. So here's a picture of what happens when water drips on a rock for 15 years, for 25 years, and for 50 years. You see how the rock gets worn away like that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I don't know. It's upside down.
It's upside down. See, there you go. See the rock? See, it's worn down?
Yeah.
Here's my point. Sometimes our parents tell us something over and over and over, like water dripping on a rock, because they know that when we hear God's word over and over and over, it starts to make a dent on our heart. that slowly but surely God's Word changes us. And that's what we see in our Scripture today. Let me read a Bible verse for you. I left my Bible up there. That was a mistake. You were right, Mr. Rich. There was one more thing that I needed. All right, listen to these verses real quick, kids. Verses 3 through 5. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, "Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth." So this dad tells his little boy, "Do you know what my daddy told me? Get wisdom. And do you know what I'm telling you? Get wisdom. Do you know my daddy and my pastors told me to get wisdom from God?" They sure did. And I'm telling you the same thing. And your parents are telling you the same thing. And week after week after week in these children's chats, I've been saying, seek God's wisdom, read His Word. Why do we repeat it over and over and over? So that you will start to believe it. So it'll change your heart. So that you'll want to know what God says and to trust what God says. So that your whole life you'll seek God's wisdom. So children, I'm going to say it again like water dripping on a rock. Get wisdom. Get insight. Get it from God. Let's pray. Dear God, we love you. Thank you for your word where we hear your wisdom. Lord, as we hear it again and again and again in church and in our homes and in children's church, help us to trust it and to be changed by it. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, y'all line up behind Miss Brittany. Liam and Daniel, y'all are staying here. You too, Luke. Y'all have a good time over in children's worship. The book of Proverbs, especially when you're reading the proverb of the day, you know, where you look at the calendar date and you go read that proverb. If you're doing that for 31 days in a row, or if you're preaching through Proverbs in a summer, it can start to feel repetitive after a while. But that's not a bug. It's actually a feature. The Bible says the same thing over and over and over because we need the repetition. We often don't listen. We don't pay attention. And even the wisest among us can benefit from repeated exposure to God's wisdom. That's why he repeats himself in the Scriptures, not just in the book of Proverbs, but throughout it. So listen now as I read again Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth.'" Sounds pretty familiar to the stuff we've heard already in the book of Proverbs. But what is God trying to communicate through this echo? Not only chapter to chapter, but generation to generation, from grandfather to son. God must be trying to accomplish something through this repetition. Here's the first thing. Wisdom repeats itself so that we would want God's rule over our lives. Let me ask you a question. Can you make yourself want something? That is, can desires be cultivated? Or conversely, can desires be changed or gotten rid of? This is really difficult stuff, especially when you talk about weight loss and exercise and those sorts of things. Like, my desires need to change a bit. The Scriptures argue that our desires can be cultivated and also put to death, but it's rarely a quick process. It's more like erosion. And that's what the author of Proverbs is trying to do. He's trying over time and through repetition to stir up our interest. He's trying to cultivate a new desire in us. Specifically, he's trying to help us want for God to be in charge of our lives. He's trying to help us desire God's rulership over the way that we live. Kids, I'll speak especially to the boys, but this is true in some ways for the girls too. When boys start to grow up and they become a teenager, the men in their lives start giving them unsolicited advice about girls. Fathers and grandfathers and uncles and mentors and strangers start telling them what a good woman really is and how they can track down a good wife. And these 12-year-old boys are just sitting there like, why are you telling me this? These older men know that these younger men have some desires in regard to the opposite sex, but they're trying to cultivate new and better desires in them, desires grounded in wisdom and experience. And so they regularly give redundant advice to these young men. But check this out. Starting in verse 5, the grandfather, speaking through the father, does just that. He encourages him to chase after wisdom like he'd chase after a good wife. Listen to the romance language. It's kind of subtle in the English translations. It's more apparent in Hebrew, but listen for the romance language in these verses. Verses 5 through 9. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Wisdom is like a good wife. Find her and don't forsake her. Love her, prize her, embrace her, cling to her. And if you do, she will bless you beyond your imagining. What is the grandfather and the father trying to cultivate in the son? Proverbs is trying to help us want wisdom. Many young men, when they're looking for a woman, they're only looking for one thing. It's not godly, it's not wise, or of real benefit. They need a new and better desire to motivate their search. That's why old men give them unsolicited advice. They're trying to cultivate new and better desires in them. But what about you? Do you want wisdom? Do you actually want to think like God? Do you want to do things God's way? Do you want to live in His blessing? Often we don't. There are aspects of our lives that maybe we're okay with that, and there are other aspects not so much. So if you don't, if you struggle to want to think like God, if you struggle to want His wisdom, I'll ask you a follow-up question. Do you at least want to want wisdom? Lest you get any ideas about my journey of faith, a lot of my time as a Christian has not been terribly wise. I haven't always wanted to be holy. Often my spirit has been willing, but my flesh was weak. So as I look back, I've had long stretches in my life where at least I wanted to be holy, though. The spirit, again, being stronger than the flesh. So when you look at yourself, maybe you're not terribly wise. Maybe you struggle to want to be wise. Maybe on a daily basis when you're at work and you're with your family and you're just in the action, you're not thinking about, what does God want for me in my life? But do you at least want to want that? Do you at least want to want wisdom? Have you taken that first step? If not, what can you do? Read more Proverbs. Read the Scriptures. It repeats itself for a reason. As it drip, drip, drips on our hearts, it's trying to cultivate the desires of God in us. But how? How is it cultivating these desires in us? We can actually look at my last two sermons to see that. Proverbs has been giving us self-interested reasons for wisdom in order to persuade our selfish hearts. Look at verses 8 and 9. Speaking of wisdom, the grandfather says, "Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown." Proverbs is treating us like an old man treats a foolish young man. If you will embrace wisdom and you will commit yourself to her, she'll exalt you. She'll put a crown on your head. The book's not being patronizing, but it is appealing to our baser desires, because the book could just as easily say, prize wisdom highly and God will be exalted. Embrace her and you will honor him. That would be totally true. That would be a good statement. But in an effort to incentivize wisdom for hard-headed people, he says instead, prize her and she'll exalt you. She'll honor you if you embrace her. She'll put a graceful garland or crown on you. You'll be a winner if you will embrace wisdom. A person might read this and hear the last two sermons and think, I really want to obey God because it's going to give me these rewards and it's going to give me these blessings. There are going to be these secondary causes in the world. This is just going to work out better for me. But as they live that way, and as wisdom starts to sink in, as it becomes more ingrained in their hearts, that other stuff becomes unimportant. It becomes secondary, because there is something much greater to be had than the earthly benefits of wisdom. But if you look at your life, and there are some areas where you're struggling to obey God, you're struggling to be wise, my encouragement to you this morning is this. Be more selfish. Be more selfish. Live wisely out of a desire to be rewarded. Want those rewards. Pursue it like crazy. And as wisdom and wise living brings that reward to you, I believe God's going to change your hearts. And you're going to actually start becoming wise. And I realize that probably sounds nuts that I would tell you to be selfish. But why else would Proverbs repeat this stuff over and over and over? He's trying to cultivate new desires in us by appealing to those self-interested desires that we carry automatically. We want to thrive. We want to be happy. We want to be exalted. And he says, so be wise. Obey me. Walk in my ways. But what is the grandfather trying to say at the heart of this text? He's saying that wisdom is more valuable than anything else you can find. You like gold? Wisdom's better. You like position? Wisdom's better. You like pleasure? Wisdom's better. Look at verses 5 through 7. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. You can almost imagine the grandfather shaking his grandson by the collar and saying, listen to me, get wisdom, and whatever you get wisdom. These are the words of an old man desperately trying to communicate sense into his brick-headed grandson. But in these words, I hear the echoes of someone else. Oh, I'm sorry, I got so excited I didn't give you all these blanks. Goodness gracious. Did y'all get this one? Everybody get this one? No? All right, sorry. Proverbs trying to help us want wisdom. Y'all are never going to let me go on vacation again. I can't remember anything. The next one, Proverbs has been giving us self-interested reasons for wisdom in order to persuade our selfish hearts. I know if I don't do it now, I'll get 18 texts this afternoon. I didn't get those blanks. This is what Proverbs reminds me of. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Of course, this is Jesus speaking, but he sounds a lot like the grandfather speaking in our text. There's this thing out there that's so valuable, it's worth trading everything for. And in Proverbs, it's called wisdom. And in Matthew, it's called the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And what is this kingdom? When people fear God and submit to the rulership of Jesus, they experience the benefits of wisdom and of being members of God's kingdom. If you were to live wisely, what would your life look like? Following Jesus. And if you were following Jesus in every aspect of your life, what would your life look like? It would look like wisdom. And walking in the way of Jesus will benefit you and your world more than you could ever begin to dream up. That is more valuable than anything you could have, to know Christ, to trust Christ, and to wake up every day with a sense that I'm on mission for Him. So David and Heather are going to Japan. And I know how you guys think about missionaries, because you say weird things about pastors too. Oh, these are really holy people, you know? They're really suffering for Jesus out there. They're the real servants of Jesus. That's the kind of things people say about missionaries behind your back. People say about preachers too, until they get to know you, and then it's all, you know, that ends. God wants you to wake up every day. Kids, y'all too. He wants you to wake up every day to know that He is with you, and He has a mission for you to accomplish today. Every day to be asking Jesus, what would you have me do today to glorify you in the place where you put me, among the people where you put me, and whether it's Japan or St. Tammany Parish, He wants us to live all of life in line with Him. The book of Proverbs is trying to cultivate that kind of desire in us. Wisdom repeats itself so that we would want the rule of God in our lives. His rulership leading and guiding us in everything that we do. So keep listening. Keep reading Proverbs. Keep reading the scriptures. And God is going to, over time, cultivate this desire in your heart to serve Christ in all of life. But the grandfather isn't just trying to cultivate that desire in us to want God's rule. No, He wants us to fulfill that desire as well. Therefore, wisdom repeats itself so that our life would be shaped by daily repentance and obedience. Proverbs is not a very cerebral book. It's eminently practical. Through it, God is trying to change how we live. He's inviting us to talk differently, to choose differently, to love differently, to use our money differently, to work differently. It's a very practical book. And the start of all those things is daily repentance and daily obedience. Why is it that these chapters are all worded like a father or a grandfather speaking to a son? Why does it sound like discipline? Why does every chapter kind of feel like we're in trouble for something? Because the whole book is discipline. It's trying to shape us, and we need to hear it. Listen again to verses 4 through 6. He, the grandfather, taught me and said to me, "Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you." Why does he, I mean, four chapters now we've been hearing. Listen, 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 obey, keep it, hold on to it. Why? Because we forget. Because we don't listen. We turn away. We forsake wisdom for our own ways. And so Proverbs is inviting each of us to deep introspection about our lives. And it's asking us, do we have parts of our lives where we are still trusting ourselves rather than God? Do we have parts of our lives where we are still living in unrepentant sin? Or do we still have areas in our lives where we are operating with disordered loves? The fact is, nobody in this room has reached perfection yet. We still have areas where we're trusting our own intuitions instead of God's wisdom. We still have sins we need to repent of, some of which we're still unaware. We're still making decisions based upon inappropriate desires or simply disordered loves, where we love a good thing more than we ought. But how can you know? How can you see your own blind spots? How can you be aware of something that you're unaware of? One major way is introspection, guided by and shaped by the scriptures. If you never read the Bible, don't be surprised if you're really comfortable with your life. If you never read the Bible, don't be surprised if you don't see sin or weakness in your life. But if you read the Bible, get ready. It'll lay you bare before God and before yourself. And so Proverbs is inviting us to exchange everything opposed to God's rule in our lives for the joy of knowing and serving Him. It's God's desire. Kids, for the little guys, from the youngest to the oldest, it's God's desire to have all of you. To have every moment of every day of your life aimed at enjoying Him and following Him. And that's not a dour monastic experience. It's an experience of knowing and delighting in the God who is remaking all things. It's an experience of a God who loves you and desires to transform you. Kids, my kids have started watching Looney Tunes lately. Looney Tunes, very violent show. I can't say I recommend it, but it's hilarious. Every time somebody dies and goes to heaven in Looney Tunes, what do they turn into? They turn into an angel, right? When we die and go to heaven, do we turn into angels? No, no, no. God's not trying to turn us from humans into angels. He's actually trying to make us more human. When we're sinning and we're not being what God made us to be, we're acting less like ourselves. God wants to make us more human. God is reforming each of us, and he's fixing what's bent and broken. He's putting us on a path of freedom and joy and purpose and delight. But how do we know we can trust God to do it right? How do we know that he really has our best in mind? We can know that because he lived and died for us. And he was raised that we might be saved from our sins, that we might know our Heavenly Father, that we might live, truly live, for the very first time. Proverbs is inviting us to live lives of conviction and costly love grounded in the work of Christ. This is what he's calling us to. I've appreciated the work of N.T. Wright for many years. His views on justification are not what we would consider orthodox, but I think there's a lot that we can learn from him as a brother. And in his commentary on Matthew, he said this about the kingdom of God, or as we might say, living with wisdom. Oh, it's gone. Oh, it's in the worship guide, actually. If you look inside the front page, we printed it out there for you. He says, the gospel of the kingdom isn't a pleasant religious idea that you might like to explore sometime when you got an hour or two to spare. It isn't an attractive object in the museum that you might visit and look at admiringly the next time you're in the district. It's like a fabulous hoard of treasure, yours for the taking, if you'll sell everything else to buy the field where it's hidden. This is what Proverbs is saying over and over and over. Wisdom is no mere trifle, an amusement to consider when you've got some spare time. No, wisdom is everything. The rulership of God over your life is everything. So ask yourself the question, who's in charge of you? Who's in charge of your family? Who's in charge of your work? Who's calling the shots? How do you discern what's good and right for you and your family and the ones you love? It's very easy for us to divvy up our life into portions, some that belong to God and some that still belong to us, but he wants it all. As Abraham Kuyper once said, there's not a square inch in the whole domain of human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. And the same, my friends, is true of your life, your mind, your heart, your family, your money, your time, your energy. It all belongs to Jesus. And if we will simply give him what already belongs to him, what freedom and joy and blessing we'll have, if we will live with the costly love that Christ has shown us, if we will live with the conviction of trusting God and his word, if we will live every moment of every day for him, we'll have the life that we were made for. This is what Proverbs is trying to cultivate in us by just saying it over and over and over again. Wisdom repeats itself so that we would want God's rule and be shaped by daily repentance and obedience. So, how are your desires? Do you want to live for God, or at least do you want to live for God? Regardless, listen to Proverbs. Read the scriptures. Its repetition is there for a purpose. Like water dripping on a rock, wisdom repeats itself so that we would want God's rule. And how's your daily repentance and obedience? Are you living every day in light of Jesus' saving work? Do you live your life with wisdom and for Jesus' intentions? How can you even know? Listen to Proverbs. Read the scriptures. Its repetition is there for a purpose, like water dripping on a rock. Wisdom repeats itself so that we would be shaped by daily repentance and obedience. Give your life, all of it, to Jesus, and you will find the life that you and we we're all made for.